It is so good to be here celebrating this Christmas season with you all. Christmas is a time filled with joy and dread and anxiety and anticipation and everything in between. It's a season of longing and waiting, and maybe some of us in this room are waiting for next week, hoping that something will come that will maybe satisfy a longing that we've had for a while. For my six-year-old, this would be Bakugans and a Nintendo Switch. He's telling me every single day that those are the only two things he wants. If you don't know what Bakugans are, I still don't know if I'm saying it right, to be honest. I just keep hearing it, and I'm just like, okay, I think we can figure that one out. But that's it, and then Nintendo Switch. Those are the only two things he wants. Christmas will be a failure without those things. He has this deep longing, and maybe you have something fun like that, a toy kind of thing in your life that's on your list, or maybe for you it's something a little more practical that you hope to receive that will fulfill some longing you have. And I think even maybe others in here, you have this like deep longing to serve either in our nursery or preschool next week. And if that's you, I just want to let you know, we can make that longing be satisfied. Like right now, cccgo.com/info, red button, serve with us. We'll get you hooked up after you've been background checked and proved to be a good, upstanding citizen. But anyways, we'd love to help fulfill that longing, all right? Other people maybe have a longing, whether it's practical, something fun, or maybe something a little different for you. It's longing for time with family. A time to relive old memories, a time to have some comfort experienced in your life or something in that vein. And maybe it's because of that longing that you even have a little bit of dread about this Christmas, because you realize that some people that make Christmas feel like Christmas won't be with you this year. And that can be a hard thing, because in the middle of our longing, it can be hard to know what to do with that. But regardless of what your longing is, whether it's a Nintendo Switch, something else fun, something practical, or time with family, the reality is that a lot of us in this room 2 weeks from now will be sharing stories from Christmas about either a longing fulfilled or a longing deferred, about receiving something we really wanted or having that desire still put off for another season. And I'd love for all of us just to think for a second, like literally think. I'm going to give you a second to think about this. What is a longing that you have? Whenever I think about that word longing, it's like it's a want you can feel in your bones. You know, that thing where it's like, I've got to have this. What is a longing you've had in your life? Maybe it's something, a longing you have right now, or maybe it's a longing that you've had in the past that God has now fulfilled. Think about that for a second. Maybe even write that down. What is a longing that you have? You see, this Christmas season, I've thought a lot about this idea of longing, and I've been struck by how in my own life, a lot of the longings I would articulate to others have really been conditioned by our culture of instant gratification. Like a lot of the things I talk about wanting or really needing are things that honestly could be on my like front doorstep in 2 days or less with a click of a button on Amazon, or by just running out to the store really quick. It's not like it's something that's really far off. And yet if we look back at the first Christmas, we see that for the people in the first Christmas, the people of Israel, the longing that they had been passed down from one generation to the next. It wasn't a new longing. It was a longing that had been deferred for generation after generation. They had been waiting and longing for God to come through on his promise. It wasn't a longing that was confined just to 4 weeks in a calendar year, but it was a perpetual longing, a longing that was seemingly constant. And yet for a lot of people in Israel, this longing that they had felt a little bit futile. It felt like something that maybe they should just give up on, because it didn't seem like God could possibly come through on what he said he would do. And yet it was a longing that they just couldn't shake. It was a longing that stuck with them no matter what was going on. And for at least the last 1,600 years plus, the church has used this season leading up to Christmas as a season to reflect on that process of waiting and longing for God to come through on a promise. It's a season where we reflect on the way that God came through 2,000 years ago at that first Christmas, and a season where we also think about our own longing for Christ's return. We look back to his first coming, and we look forward to his second coming, hoping and longing for God to come through and reign in fullness again. And you see, at the heart of Christmas, what we want to look at today is what is it that we do when we have a longing that has long been deferred that is now satisfied? What do we do when there's a longing that we've had maybe for most of our life that God comes through on? What do we do in that moment? And a second question I want us to wrestle through as well is, what are some of those perpetual longings that we as the church should share with each other? What are some of those things that should fill our hearts and our mind as we're looking forward to what we hope to see God do in the world around us? We're going to jump back into the book of Luke, chapter 2, to explore this a little bit together here in just a moment. But before we jump in, I want us to remember what this longing that the people of Israel had was. See, this longing that they had could really be tracked all the way back to the garden, like Phil mentioned just a couple of weeks ago. Back in the beginning, God created all things good, put Adam and Eve in this garden to have perfect relationship with him and one another and to spread his reign throughout the earth. And yet Adam and Eve chose to trust Satan instead of trusting God, to choose to believe lies instead of trusting God. And in that moment, they rebelled against God, and yet God did not leave them alone. Instead, God made a promise to send one who would come one day, who would crush the head of the evil one. So one generation after another passed on this longing of one that would come to crush the head of the evil one. This was something that gets more specific as you travel through the story of Scripture. But if you think about the actual timeline, you realize just how long this time period was. So that happens in Genesis 3. It's a couple thousand years later in Genesis chapter 12 that we find out that this one to come will come through the family of Abraham. Still a couple hundred years after that, before the promise gets a little more specific and tells us that the one who comes will be a ruler. We learn about that at the end of the book of Genesis as God speaks through a blessing over Judah, saying that the one to come will have a scepter, will rule in that sort of way. It's still a couple hundred years after that before we find out that this one to come will come through the family of David. So one generation after next, passing this promise down, then a couple hundred years later, we find out that the one to come will be born in Bethlehem. He will be a good shepherd over God's people. And throughout this entire time where the people of Israel are looking forward to God coming through on this promise to send one who would rule over them, would shepherd over them, their anticipation or their longing is only amplified because of their experience of leadership themselves. Do you realize that part of the reason why leaders like Moses and Joshua and David stand out in the Old Testament is because most of the leaders were terrible? See, that longing for a good leader was amplified because most of their leaders were so bad. It's like having a longing for a new phone that's amplified by the reality that, like, if you unplug it from a charger and watch a 3-minute video, your phone's dead. Or you, like, make one phone call and your phone's dead and you're like, what on earth? Or maybe you have a longing for a new vehicle and your longing is amplified because your current car is in the shop again, right? You have this longing that's only amplified by your experience. That's what's happening for the people of Israel throughout much of their history. They're looking forward to this one who would come and rescue them, this one who would come and be a good ruler over them. And their longing is amplified both because of poor leadership in Israel and also foreign and oppressive leaders who were coming in and ruling over them as well. And so one generation after the next, longing for God to come through on his promise. In the book of Ezekiel, we see God actually call out the leaders in Israel. He calls them shepherds. And here's what he even tells them in the first couple of verses. He says, this is God speaking through Ezekiel to the leaders in Israel. He says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? So this is a little bit of the experience of Israel. And then God makes a promise, if we jump down to verse 23, about what will come in the future. He says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And even after this promise, it's another 600 years of waiting. One generation after another telling the next generation, God's going to come through on his promise. God's going to send a good shepherd to rule over us. One generation after a next, waiting for God to come through on his promise, until one night when there's some shepherds out in a field, like Phil told us about last week, and angels light up the sky and they say, today is the day. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. This is a way of review. It says this, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is the message that the shepherds received, and when they did, we see immediate obedience and intrigue. They are just kind of caught by this idea of what God has done. And like Phil said last week, they choose to pursue Jesus in light of this word. And then if we jump down to verse 16, we see what they discovered. It first reiterates their immediate obedience as Luke records this. It says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Again, we see this immediate obedience, and we see the shepherds, it says, spread the word concerning what they had seen and heard. They go and they spread this message. Now, we don't really know who they spread this message to. You see, it doesn't really specify that. We know that they went to see Jesus, and we learned last week that the spot where Jesus was born was probably like the basement, basically, of the house where the animals were kept. So it's not like far from our imagination to think that maybe some of the family went down for the birth to be present in this moment. So it could be that the shepherds show up on the scene and they're just telling the people already gathered around Jesus, hey, this is what the angels have told us. We see that they were amazed. Or maybe they went out into the community. The reality is the passage doesn't tell us who they shared this message with, who they spread the news to. It just simply says, literally, that they made known what had been made known to them. They just made known what the angels had said, what they had seen, and what they had heard. So we don't know exactly who they shared it with, but we do know a little bit about people's responses. It says that when people heard what they shared, they were amazed. All who heard it were amazed. And we also see Mary's response. It says, but Mary pondered these things in her heart. She reflected on these things. She treasured these things. We see this response to hearing what God has done as reflecting and amazement. Luke uses this word amazed throughout his book to talk about how people responded to having encounters with Jesus. And we see a little bit about what happens with the shepherds after this moment. It says that they returned, which I assume means they went back to being shepherds. It wasn't like they went and had this encounter and then like they came back and we were like, no more shepherds, now accountants, or no more shepherds, now I'm going to be a teacher, or no more shepherds, I'm going to do this. No, they went right back to what they were doing, but they went back a little bit different, right? They went back glorifying and praising God because they couldn't help but contain what God had done for them, what God had revealed to them, the way that they had seen God fulfill what God had long promised to do. They had seen that the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, was in fact here on earth. So what did this mean in their mind? Well, it meant that God had come through on his promise to send one who would reign on the throne. God had promised to come through on his promise to set the people free. And the reality is that for the shepherds, this probably didn't look like they were anticipating. I don't know that they spent their entire life looking forward to God sending one who would just be a baby sitting in a manger, right? And yet whenever they saw God break in, they couldn't help but share the news, because God breaking into our world and fulfilling those deep longings, it's something that's worth sharing with others. They couldn't contain it to themselves. They saw that it was worth sharing. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a time in my life where, actually, I do know about you. I don't think this happened for anybody in the room. If it has, please come share with me after service. But there's never been a moment where I was out in a field keeping watch over my sheep at night and the sky lit up with angels like speaking this message to me, okay? That could be because I don't have sheep. Or it could be because I don't have a field to put sheep, or it could be for any number of other reasons, but that just hasn't been my experience. Anybody else have that experience here? No? Ben, you've had that experience? Okay, great. Can't wait to hear about it. Okay. Not been my experience. But what I have had in my life is moments where I've had these deep longings, these deep desires, these things that felt nearly impossible, and I've had God meet me there in the middle of my longing. In the middle of my desire, in the middle of my circumstances, God has met me there. As I was reflecting on some of these moments this week, there were a few that came to mind. I remember in college, I had a good friend who was found dead in his apartment. And then just a couple years after that, my dad passed away unexpectedly. I was 25, he was 60. And in both of those moments, there was a deep sense of suffering and grief that overwhelmed me. And in that time, I had a deep longing for comfort. And I have to tell you that God met me there. In the middle of that deep longing for comfort, God met me. He did this a couple different ways. He did this through the church and through people coming around and loving on me and my family. At that time, I wasn't serving on staff here at Crossroads. I had interned here a couple of years before that. And there were actually several people from this congregation that drove the 4.5 hours to be there, to be present at my dad's funeral, to love on me and my family. And that was one of the ways that God brought about comfort in that season of deep grief. I think of other times when God would meet me in just quiet moments and he would pour out his love on me as his beloved son. In this time of deep suffering and grief, whenever I had this deep longing for comfort, God met me there. And I have to tell you, it wasn't that it made those seasons easy, but it reminded me that I wasn't alone in that season. I think of other seasons in my life whenever there was incredible chaos going on around me, whether that was at work or it was maybe even relationally. And in that moment of deep chaos, whenever I longed for peace, God met me there. It wasn't that the chaos around me just stopped, but it was that God brought about peace in my own heart, which changed the way I operated in the midst of chaos around me. God met me in the deep longing I had for peace. I think about other times in my life, some of them are extremely vivid, where I was stuck in despair because of my own dumb self and my own sin. It's not something I could pin on anybody else. It was my own fault. I think about whenever I graduated high school and I had a few sin patterns in my life that I had convinced myself, I can stop these anytime I want. I've got control over these things. All I got to do is stop. Right now, I'm just doing it for fun, but I can stop anytime. And then I got caught up in my sin and I got exposed for it. And I hit a moment of deep despair because I didn't have control over things like I thought I did. And in the middle of that despair, God met me and brought hope. Hope that my only hope to be delivered from not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin was in and through Christ. So in that moment of deep despair, God met me and brought about hope. A couple of years later, whenever another sin pattern reared its ugly head and someone called me out on it, I again went towards despair, and yet God met me there. And in and through Christian brothers and sisters, he spoke hard truths into my life to remind me that there was hope for sin to be overcome. But y'all, this isn't something that just happened in the distant past. I think of this last April when there was a moment I went away out of state for a men's retreat. And in that moment, I was struck by the reality that some cynicism and bitterness had taken root in my heart. And the response to this, what had ended up happening in my own heart, was that I couldn't even like take in moments of joy in my life. There was so much cynicism and bitterness in my heart that I couldn't really just enjoy the gift of family or other things going on in my life. And God began to do a hard work then 8 months ago. And God has continued to meet me in this season in the middle of despair to bring about hope and joy. Now, I share these stories a little bit to remind us that God will meet us in our longing. And that's not just a one-time thing that happens in the distant past. It's something that God is up to on a continual basis. And I just wonder if maybe some of us in this room have also had moments in our life where we've had deep, deep longings. And God has met us there. Think about that for a minute. Maybe even jot it down on a piece of paper. Jot it down in your phone notes. Maybe it wasn't a moment where God met you in the way you hoped he would, and yet when you look back on it, you can't deny that God met you in that place. See, we serve a God who is up to this business of meeting us in our deep longings in very real ways. And I just wonder if for us as a people, if we wouldn't like grow in our experience of transformation, if we wouldn't grow in our experience of intimacy with God and one another, if when God did that, we made it a practice to share that with those around us. If when God met us in moments of deep longing, if we would be a people who would share that with our family, share that with our church family, and share that with those in our life so we can make known what God has made known to us. So we can make known what God has been doing in us. Because what we see in the shepherds in our story today is as they did that, they left rejoicing and glorifying God because they couldn't deny that God was up to something. See, as a people, I think if we grow in the sharing, if we grow in the sharing of what God has done in us, we grow in paying attention to what God does, if that wouldn't help us to grow in our experience of deep and abiding joy. So that's the first thing I want us to see. When God meets us in our deep longing and brings about some satisfaction to a longing deferred, what do? We share that. We let other people know what God is up to. But I think there's a second component here, because I think that as a people, a lot of times we have a tendency to zero in and focus in on things in our life that are longings that are, if we were honest, pretty self-centered. There are things that benefit us and our family, but have very little to do with God's kingdom moving forward. And so just like if we look back in this first story and we look at the longing that the shepherds shared with the rest of the nation of Israel, this longing they had for a king to come and reign like God had promised, what are some of those shared longings that we should have as God's people? There are a couple of these. The first thing I want us to think about is this longing for justice and for freedom. You see, if we look back to the first century and we look back to what was going on in the world, we see that the shepherds and the people of Israel, one of their deep longings was to actually have the Roman government done away with and to actually experience freedom in their life. And as a people, whenever we look around the world and we see war, when we see chaos, when we see injustice reigning in our world, that should cause us to have an amplified desire to see God bring justice and freedom in our world. This is something that should drive our prayer life, that should drive our experience and our relationship with God and one another. As we see this longing for justice and freedom, whenever we see the opposite, it should light a fire in us. And whenever we see bits where God is coming through and giving us a glimpse of what that looks like to see justice and freedom, that should be something we're sharing. A second thing that's related to this is a longing for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We should long to see this world be a place where tears are wiped away. There's no more tears. So we should seek to love and comfort those who are hurting around us. Second, we should think about what a major indicator of God's kingdom breaking into the world was when Jesus came to earth. And one of those major indicators was people turning from sin and turning to Jesus. We should long to see people come to know Jesus in a real transformative way. When we see people in our family or in our lives who don't yet know Jesus, we should long for them to come to know Jesus, not because of some guilt trip, but because we know the goodness of knowing God and being in his family. We long to see people turn to Jesus because that is an indicator that God's kingdom is breaking in here on earth. We should long to see enemies reconciled, whether that's other people in our life or us being reconciled with others. We should long to see forgiveness extended. We should long to see the grieving comforted. We should long to see God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And when we see the opposite of that, again, that should amplify our longing for this. But when we get to see glimpses of this, we need to share those stories. We need to testify to the ways that we see God breaking in to this world, bringing his kingdom like he said he would. And finally, we need to long for Christ to return. See, we live in a time where we're really comfortable, most of us in our lives. Oftentimes we don't worry about like where our next meal comes from or where we're going to sleep tonight. And that can lead to us being really comfortable here in this world. And we just got to recognize that's not been the experience of a lot of people throughout history. A lot of times the people of God throughout history have been pushed to the margins. And so this longing for Christ to return was amplified. But y'all, we need to be longing for him to come. We need to pray with the church over the last 2,000 years. Y'all, this has been a perpetual longing in the church, is for Christ to return, to cry, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. That needs to be a prayer in our hearts as well. As we long to see God return and reign in fullness to make all the wrong things right and all the dark things light, as our Advent blocks remind us if you're doing that with your family. That's a longing we should share. If you're reading through the Bible with us right now as a church, you're either getting ready to start Revelation or you've just started it. There can be plenty of things that cause your head to spin in that book, but one thing is clear throughout the book of Revelation, and that is that Christ is conquering. He is reigning. And whenever you get to the end, you see this moment where God's people are dwelling with God like we were created to in the beginning, as heaven and earth come together. We need to long for that day where we experience life as we were made to. Where there are no more tears, no more darkness in our world. God invites us to long to see this come about. So as we wrap up, there are a couple of questions I'd invite you to reflect on for a few seconds. First, what are we longing for? Think about that in your own life. What are those things that your attention is fixed on? You can choose to jot those down and reflect on that throughout this week. And second, are we ready to share when God meets us there? When God meets us in our moments of deep longing, are we prepared to share the way God is doing that with those around us? Because every single time we see God's kingdom breaking in here on earth, just like those shepherds had the chance to a couple thousand years ago, it's worth sharing. When God meets our deep longing, it's worth sharing. When God meets us in our suffering, in our grief, it's newsworthy. When God meets us in the chaos of our life and brings peace, it's newsworthy. When God meets us in our despair and brings hope, it's newsworthy. When we get a glimpse of God's kingdom breaking in here on earth as it is in heaven, it's newsworthy. I have to tell you, if you're wondering, yeah, but why do I share that? I think there are a couple of reasons. One of those, because it actually shapes and forms your heart towards more joy. But a second reason is there are a lot of us in this room that maybe in seasons where we have a longing to see God break in that's just not doesn't seem possible. And as we testify to one another, as we share what God is doing in our lives, it actually encourages us to hold on to hope and faith that God is up to something, that God is not given up on us or this world. God is still at work meeting us in our deep longings. Our God is still at work desiring to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And our God is still keeping his word to one day return and set all things right. As we testify to one another about the ways that God is at work, it encourages us to hold on to hope. So as we leave today, let's be a people who pay attention to the ways that God is meeting us in our longings. Let's be a people who share that with those around us, and let's be a people who even train our hearts to long for better things, to long for the things that God has put in his church to long for. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for being a God who does meet us where we are. God, right now, I pray that you would be at work shaping us to be a people who see the ways that you are at work and who make that known to the world around us. And as we do, would you allow people to encounter Jesus in meaningful ways, in transformative ways? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.